joining us today. You're about to hear a message from Pastor Dayton Ifedamola of the Sons and Daughters of Zion Ministry Worldwide. Be blessed as you listen.
Father, we give you praise. We say, take all the glory, Lord. We thank you for bringing this kind of word to us, a word that we need indeed in this season. Take all the praise, Dad, in Jesus' name. Father, I return all the glory to you for finding me useful in your hands to bring this word that will liberate lives, that will wipe away their tears in the name of Jesus. Amen. Good to have you on this platform. And the concept we'll be looking at is saving the unsaved. I have the passion to put this together by the grace of God because of cases that I've had to attend to bordering on having an unsaved family member, mostly that of women whom their husband is not saved. Some are even saved, they go to church, but they have some attitudes, some characters which is not giving them joy. I have a passion to see that everybody in that shoe get to see the light and have their dominion, their heart desire. There are also few cases, yes, even when it happens, men don't care as such, where it is the wife that is unbelieving or have some issues that they want to get treated, or they want them to change and become spirit-filled and born again. And there are also cases where it is the children that are concerned about the parents' salvation. There are also cases where it is the parent that are concerned about the children's salvation, or a sibling's salvation, or change of life, change of heart. Everything is actually covered, or I will try to cover every area. What I will be saying here can be applied to every of this area as the Lord will be helping us. So saving the unsaved, let me start by saying if you are in a relationship, a marriage, or let me say if you are listening to this message and you have not entered and you are not yet married to that person, and you are, the person has already become a prayer point for you, take your bag and leave. I won't say that two times. I don't know whatever it is that is making you to want to go ahead. I don't think I wish to convince you beyond that. The Lord help you. The Lord help your soul. Amen. Also, if it is an abusive marriage where you endure beatings especially, or the issue at hand is already affecting your mental health. When I talk about mental health, I'm talking about your brain now, your mind. I've seen cases where the woman is already acting mad. So let me just use that word. I'm sorry. I didn't have anybody in mind, honestly, but and I know how emotional it could be. If you are in that shoe, please save yourself first. It is well within Jesus' name. So the focus of this teaching is for everyone I've mentioned earlier. And this is a principle of the scriptures that works. I can tell you, if you do everything I'll be talking about here, 3 months too much. 3 months too much. Bible says the word of God is quick and sharper than a two-edged sword. It pierced through where no other surgical knife or what have you can pierce through. God is actually fast. If you think God is slow, it is you that we should ask if you are doing the things you ought to do. Yes, God is actually fast. When I say 3 months, I mean you will see notable progress within that period of time. I pray the Lord help you in the name of Jesus. Now, please allow me to use a wife to husband as a case study. You can now put it in any way you want to put it. Maybe it is your father, your sister, or your wife. Let me just use a wife to husband situation, because that is the commonest, and those were the ones that I got their report of late that want me to really come down here. So just accept me as I am. And that leads us to the very first point, which is you need to understand the status quo. The right word I would have used is that accept the status quo, but I don't want you to overblow that. Your husband is a drunkard. I'm also careful of giving instances now. Yeah, because some of these instances, when you look at it deeply, the right advice would have been to tell the woman to even take a break or so. Okay, maybe your husband is unsaved or nonchalant. The first thing you need to do is to accept, is to understand that is the situation in your hand. You know, coming home, meeting your room dirty is different from maybe leaving your room clean and meeting it dirty. Even if you meet it dirty, before you can do anything about it, you have to accept and understand that the room is dirty. So when you are able to sweep a foot, you know that you are making progress. Now, your husband has always been like that, and you have always been crying about it or been worried about it. To me, I know how difficult it may be with you, but that's not the right way to go. You already know that is who he is. That is the way he behaves. If he acts otherwise, you should be surprised. You shouldn't be surprised that he's acting the way he's acting. So you must kind of accept, understand the issue you are. Don't start by looking at it from what you wish for. No, start by looking at it with the way it is. He tells you he's going out, he comes back late, and you are there crying. He goes out the following day, comes out late, you cry. He goes out, come down the third, you cry. When will you come to realize that is just who he is? It shouldn't make you cry again. It shouldn't make you suffer again. The situation should not be strange to you. Should not bring you into worry. And you see, when you begin to compare or ruminate on what you would have loved to see and then what you wish for, is why you get stressed up and cry and get disturbed all the time. So you have to first understand and accept, and you say, okay, this is what I have in my hands that I want to work upon. That is how you can appreciate your progress. That is how you can thank God. That is how you can even make progress. But what you are still rejecting, and that's right what I've been looking for. What you are still rejecting, like, why am I like this? Why is my case like this? Why me? What is all this? Look at my mates. If that is the stage you are still at the rejection stage, you can't make any progress. And I think that is the status devil has put so many people, and they've not even moved beyond the first step. You know, when you understand the case you have in your hand, then you know that what you have to do is to fight the fight of faith. The fight of faith. The Bible, 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and art professed a good profession before many witnesses. Fight the good fight of faith. Now, you know the Bible says, who is that man that wants to go to war that will not first sit down, count his number of army? I have 1,000 foot soldiers, 2,000 chariots. My enemy has so number of soldiers, so number of chariots. He will first sit down and understand the situation. He will now say, okay, what will I do about it? Now, what you are to do is to fight the fight of faith, the good fight of faith. And it is that fight of faith that I want to take you through. So, number one, understand the status quo. Number two, know where you want them to be and see them there. After you have now known that, okay, this room is dirty, you can now emphasize where you want the room to be. and begin to see that room already there. Begin to see them already in the position that you want them to be. Mark 11:23, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. Now, the first thing is that you understand that you have a mountain before you. Now, you command the mountain to go into the sea. At that moment is the time you should begin to see that mountain in the sea. You now have two realities to deal with. The reality that he still drinks, and the reality that he is no longer drinking. Now, even when you see him drink, what you should now picture in your heart is that he is no longer drinking. That is what you should picture, because you have already prayed. You have already commanded the mountain to be moved into the sea. You will agree with me, that if you see it that way, you will no longer cry the way you cry, or get weary down the way you get weary down. Now, you want to ask me, is it that easy? Maybe that pastor has not passed through what he's saying. You know, this pastor, they've not. Should I come and tell you what things have passed through? Okay, another time I will tell you. But the truth is that, please, you won't have to do this for, you know, you've been through this for years. You've been on it. Nothing has changed. The one I'm telling you now, you won't have to do this thing for more than 3 months before you begin to appreciate it. So, if you can just hold your tears, hold your worry, for God's sake, please, for that period of time, you will indeed see the hand of the Lord. You will indeed see that. Don't say, I've done everything. If you have done everything and nothing has changed, it means you have only done most things. You have not done everything. That was what I lived with when I was passing through my own phase, my own challenge. When I was passing through a phase in life, I've passed through several phases anyway. One of the things I always hold on to is that I have not done all. There's still one more thing that I'm yet to do. And I kept looking for that one more thing. And God eventually revealed it to me. So I believe God is revealing that thing to you. If you will not look down on it, the other people, Jesus. Number three. It is a battle for their soul. We want to fight the good fight of faith, and we are fighting for their soul. This battle for their soul is being contested by the devil itself. It is not one witch or one wizard or one babalawo or mamalawo. It is the devil by itself that oversee those who are not saved. The Bible in the book of Ephesians 2 verse 2 says, wherein in the time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walketh in the children of disobedience. So nobody sees the right thing and not do it, except there is a demonic influence, a direct and a strong one. Nobody walks towards the fire. Nobody remains unsaved, except they don't see the light. And the person who is blindfolding their eyes is the devil. Number four, it's all about your tongue. See, this battle is all about your tongue. Winning this battle is all about your tongue. The Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it, those that understand it, those that use it well, those that utilize it, will eat the fruit thereof. Proverbs 18:21, that they will be saved and they will not be saved, is in the power of your tongue. Acts 19:20. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. You must keep speaking the word. You must. Those who are close to me knows my attitude about keep on speaking the word. CDA.
confess, declare, and announce on our prophetic showers. What do I do all the time? Amma, amma, amma on the same thing. Why? Because as I speak, the word grows and it will prevail. Then Mark 16:20 says, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. So when you don't speak, there's nothing for God to confirm. And when you speak rubbish, when you speak mogbe, I'm in trouble. When you speak modano, I'm in trouble. When you speak my life has ended, when you speak I'm in trouble, I don't know what words again you say. When you speak those words, that this is the way I will, because this is the way I will die. When you say you are doomed for life, that is what will be confirmed. Okay, Numbers 14:28. What does it say? Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. As long as I live. Now, those God is addressing in Numbers 14:28, they were not saying something positive. They were saying something terrible. Terrible. And God said, the way you say it is the way it will be. See, God does not have to stamp the evil words you are saying to yourself, towards that child, towards your husband, towards your wife, towards your sibling. God does not have to confirm it. Devil knows the laws of the kingdom, that your word is a seed and your word is the water. Your continual speaking is the water that wets that seed to grow. So when you have a tree problem before you and you keep speaking negative, then you are speaking fertilizer. You had a tree, you will soon have a forest. You will soon have a forest. A man carried two plants, planted them in a pot, put them in separate room. He will go to each every day and speak negatively to one of the pots. The second one, he will speak positively to it. You will grow, you will flourish, your stem will be strong. He will speak to the other one. He will speak negatively to the other one. You will die. You will not. At the end of the day, the one that he said he will die, died. The one he said he will grow, grew. So when you speak these things in the spirit realm, they are laws. They are testament. They are affirmation. You need to understand what you are saying. You need to. Numbers 14. I just read 28 to you. I'll be 20. Yes, 28 to you. Say unto them, as far as I live, say the Lord, as you have spoken in my ear, so will I do to you. Now, verse 29. Your carcass shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to your own number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land whereunto, concerning which I swore to make you dwelling, save Caleb son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. You see, those that speak death are dead. Those that speak life are life. Their salvation is in your tongue. See, the battle you are fighting, the battle of faith, the war of faith is a war of the tongue. It's not vigil, it's not mountain, it's not fasting. Those things will aid your prayer. But the main thing is what you are saying. That is where the battle is. It's not what you see. It's not what you see. They are turning bad from bad to worse, and you keep speaking right, keep speaking, keep speaking right. You will see right. This is the principle I've lived with for 8 years that have made me to be free of sickness. Never fallen sick. Never laid on hospital bed. Never admitted. In 8 years, never taking whatever. Never taking a malaria drug. In 8 years, never swallowed paracetamol even. So, this is what I've spoken. This is what has given me that. This was my tongue that gave me prosperity by the grace of God. So your tongue is very important, both the one you think and the one you say, because the Bible says, I will do unto you exceedingly abundantly and above what you could ask, what you can ask or think. So your thought is another way of asking. May God help you to be in control of your tongue from now in the name of Jesus. May you only speak your the reality that you see, that you desire to see, not the one the devil is showing you in the name of Jesus. Now, 2 Corinthians 4:13. 2 Corinthians 4:13. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. The fathers of faith fought the good fight of faith by saying what they believe. We can only thrive in this fight of faith by also speaking what we believe. You speak otherwise, you see otherwise. Mark 11:24. Therefore I say unto you, that what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. So it's a matter of what you say. If you say to this mountain, be thou lifted, be thou cast into the sea, it will happen. Hallelujah. Then the fifth step from there, number one, I said, understand the status quo. Number 2, know where you want them to be and see them there. Number 3 is a battle for their soul. Number 4, it's all about your tongue. Number 5, expect things to get worse. This is the art of this teaching, of this prophetic teaching, and I want you to pay attention to every word I will say and the way I will say it. I'm going to be teaching you how to pray for them to be saved. After this lecture, I'm going to be leading you in that. But one thing you must bear in mind that expect things to get worse after you have prayed. Not all will get worse, but it may likely get worse. And I will tell you why. See, have you realized that anytime you finish praying, maybe you fasted, pray, and all over something, over that thing, is when it grew worse? You say yes. Why? Now you have like the nest of bees in your house, and you want to chase away those bees. They are in their house quietly, not disturbing you. You are going and you are coming, but you don't like what you are seeing. You know they will do a potential harm. And what do? You carry a stick in your hands and you poke their house. What is going to happen? They will come out, smile at you, and then go. No! They will come out and probably sting you. So when you run away, they will return, build their house, and stay at peace again. If you feel like, well, I love you guys, I don't want to disturb you this time around, they continue to expand their territory and they will take all over your house someday. But if you still go back there and poke their house, they will still want to fight. If you go there the third time and poke their house, one day they will pack their bag and leave. This is what I've experienced physically. Now, let's look at the Bible. Let's check the book of Mark 9. I want to show you a case study there. A case study has to do with our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's see from verse 19. Mark 9:19. Now let me start reading from verse 14. Now listen, I will be reading with NLT. When they returned to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd surrounding them, and some teachers of religious law were arguing with them. When the crowd saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with awe, and they ran to greet him. And Jesus asked, "What is all this arguing about?" Verse 17, one of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, "Teacher, I brought my son so you could heal him. He's possessed by an evil spirit that won't let him talk. Now, your husband, your child, your sibling is also possessed by an evil spirit, isn't it? I told you it is a battle for their soul, and it's the prince of this world that is in charge." So just begin to picture your husband or whoever as I read this Bible passage. Picture them as I read this scripture. You brought them to God. because they are possessed with an evil spirit and they couldn't give their life to Christ, or they indulge in some habit. And whenever the spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground. Then he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they couldn't do it. Now, verse 19, Jesus said to them, "You faithless people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. I'm Jesus. Bring the boy." Now, I thought, normally, I thought that when Jesus said, our Lord Jesus Christ said, "I'm coming somewhere, bring the boy to me," the evil spirit will just excuse them and live quietly without fermenting trouble. It will just go. So they brought the boy, and the moment the evil spirit saw Jesus, it decided to display how powerful he is. But when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion, not the mild one. It fell to the ground, writhing and foaming at the mouth. Verse 21. "How long has this been happening?" Jesus asked the boy's father. I thought the evil spirit would just excuse Jesus. But why? Why? The man has gotten to the solution. Why does the boy's situation seems worse? Now, just ask the father, "How long has it been?" Now, listen to the reply of the father. Verse 22. I'm reading Mark 9. "The spirit often throws him into the fire or into water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us. If you can." If you can. Now, see the reply of my Lord Jesus Christ in verse 23. "What do you mean if I can?" Jesus answered, "Anything is possible if a person believes." Now, why, going back to the question, why did the evil spirit threw the boy into a violent convulsion, having seen Jesus Christ? The answer is this: the evil spirit wants to cast doubt in the heart of the father that he was still in charge. Now, when you pray over your husband's case, and that is the same time he did something worse or seems to get deeper or get to hate God the more, if it is that time he gets to hate God the more, to be more blinded, the devil is telling you, "I am in charge here. Your prayer is not working. Your Jesus is not going to save you. Nothing is going to happen." And when you said, when you break down in tears and say, "I'm in trouble, I am doomed," devil said, "Thank you, it worked." That's the game. So this evil spirit was able to cast fear in the mind of the father. Fear and doubt. And say, "Well, Jesus, this may look too big for you, but if you can, do something at least." Now, when devil comes that way and you smile and said, "The victory is mine. I have won this battle before the battle started. I won it on the cross. My husband is God's. He's moving closer to God, not farther away from me. He's a saved man. He has no choice. He will serve God for all his lives." And you recount some testimonies, the word of God, the devil feels like, no, it doesn't work. It didn't work. Devil will go and try another thing. You still took your ground. Another thing, you still took your ground. Devil just say, "Okay, excuse you, and just go." Now, verse 24. Jesus said, verse 23, Jesus said, "If I can," what do you mean if I can? "If I can." Who? That's an insult. If I can. No. I can save your husband. I can make him confess me as his Lord and personal Savior. I can do that very well. It's all about you. Anything is possible if a person believes. Verse 24. The father instantly cried out, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. Verse 25. Don't pray this kind of prayer. Jesus has died for you in the cross. So everything you need to overcome your unbelief is in you. It is you that you should put it to work. Verse 25. When Jesus saw the crowd of onlookers, that the crowd of onlookers was growing, he rebuked the evil spirit. Listen, you spirit that makes this boy unable to hear and speak. He said, I command you to come out of this child and never enter him again. Woo! Now, the victory this boy has is one of the biggest victory as regards the demonic deliverance in the old scriptures. Because normally, Jesus shouldn't have overused his power. Let me use that word. Permit me to use that word. Jesus should not use his power to the point of saying the demon should not return. The demon has every right to return. But Jesus is banning the spirit for life over that boy's life. Because it's just that taught us that an evil spirit may return based on some factors. But in this case of this boy, Jesus puts a life ban on that evil spirit. Why? Why? Because Jesus decided to use his power. Now, the demon knew this is kind of the victory this boy is going to get, and that was why he put up a huge front. But he has not stopped. Yes, he has not stopped. In verse 26, then the spirit screamed and threw the boy into another violent convulsion. Another violent convulsion. What is he trying to do again? What is he trying to do again? To cast another fear. And left him. The Bible says, and it left him. Now, after he left, the boy appeared to be dead. Appeared to be dead. That is like, look, Jesus, I brought my son to you alive. I knew he had a problem. Quite all right. We know that. But it was not dead. It was bleeding. Now you keep my son. So, when your case appeared worst, devil wants you to make that pronouncement of saying, I give up. The case is worst now. Jesus couldn't help me. The boy appeared to be dead. A murmur ran through the crowd as people said, he's dead, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and helped him to his feet and he stood up. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. The moment it appeared that your case is a dead case is when it becomes a living one, a new living one. Hallelujah. I hope you get that illustration very well. So when I say it may go worse, it may appear worse, that's what I'm talking about. And I'm not done. Matthew 12:43 says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Verse 44. Then he said, I will return into my house. And once I came out, and when he is come, and findeth it empty, swept, and garnished, then he goeth he, and taketh with himself seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. And they enter him and dwell there. And the last of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be unto this wicked generation. Now, if devil gives you that first test, as I've explained, and it worked, that is when devil will now do the worst, the real worst that you think you have seen. He will go out and bring seven stronger demons to make it more impossible for you to pray or to deal with that situation. At first, you were able to deal with it. You put up a front. You get scared. You relent on your faith. Then the devil will go out there and put more fire, more petrol into the fire. And the Bible says when the demon is gone out, it will come around again. You see, when your husband's head is cool a bit and his head is turning again, this is what is happening. The demon left and then tries to come back. When he tries to, Jesus said, when you cast it out, that's what I was saying the other time, that Jesus, the demon has a right to come back, but Jesus decided to override that right. That's what I was referring to. Now, Jesus said, When an unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places and seeketh rest and finding none. Then he say, I will return into my house. How does he return? He comes through doubt. When he wants to return, you begin to say, ah, just like that? As my husband change, hey, what if he came back worse? Hey, like the other time. You start doubting. One devil begins to throw that doubt in your heart and you begin to absorb it. Devil begins to even show you action. You may talk and it will shout back at you. You may say something and you say, hey, shut up. Or even not even show you face or anything. When the devil does that, your doubt will grow more and you become you surrender. And the moment you surrender, the spirit just went on and get seven others and make it worse. Somebody is saying, oh, I can see why now. Yeah, that is it. But you are getting your total freedom. Your husband is getting saved. Your wife is getting saved. Your sibling is getting saved. Your victory has come. Your salvation has come. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Look at this scripture also. Luke 19. I want to prove to you why things may seem worst and why it shouldn't be the factor that will make you give up. That's why I'm taking you through these passages. Luke 19:24. Jesus explained, I tell you that to everyone who has, because he valued his gift from God and has used them wisely, more will be given. But from the one who does not have, because he disregarded his gift from God, even what he has would be taken away. When the moment you prayed, God have answered you. The moment you prayed, God have answered you. He has given you peace. He has given you assurance. He has given you faith. But when you don't take that faith, that assurance, that peace, when you don't keep it jealously and you allow any doubt or whatever to take it away from you, the Bible says it will be taken away from you. Just like the seed that fell by the roadside, that the bird come to pick it up. And you'll be able to nurture your faith, that peace and assurance, to your full victory, to your full victory in the name of Jesus. You're not going to give up. Devil have surrendered. You have won that battle in the name of Jesus. Matthew 13:21. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. The Bible speaking about the seed that fell in the stony places. When the word of salvation, of deliverance, is sown into your marriage, and persecution and trouble arise, I told you it's like bursting the honey nest. Persecution will arise. Trouble will arise. The moment you finish listening to this message and you begin to do what I ask you to do, that is when you have troubled the devil. Don't expect him to be quiet. He will want to fight back. It will arise. Bible says, by and by, that person gets offended and he lost his victory. You will not get offended. You will not lose your victory in the name of Jesus. Number 6, take your stand. Take your stand. Number 1, understand the status quo. Number 2, know where you want them to be and send them there. Number 3, it is a battle for their soul. Number four is about your tongue. Number five, expect things to get worse. It doesn't mean that things are actually getting worse, though. No. It only appears so. In the spirit realm, it is settled. When Jesus cursed the fig tree, the tree dried immediately, but was still looking strong and green. Until the following day, the evidence has come. The tree was already dried up. Now, number six, take your stand. Regardless of the doubt, the deceit, the front that the devil wants to put before you, take your stand. Don't give in. Don't surrender. Don't say anything negative. Don't break down into tears. Refuse to worry. Refuse to be anxious. Let your word be, it is done. It is settled. I am victorious. My husband is saved already. My wife is saved already. My son is saved already. He's coming back home in the name of Jesus. That should be your word. I've told you earlier when I started, if I'm in one nonsense courtship or relationship or dating, and the guy is behaving anyhow, or the lady is behaving anyhow, and you are standing on faith because of that, I need to give you a knock on your head. I'm talking about those who are already into it, who doesn't have a choice, who are already married. Those are those I'm talking about. Hallelujah. Amen. Ephesians 6:10. You see, if you ask those who are already into it, if they would have stayed, they would tell you they wouldn't have. I'm saying like this because I got small girls or young girls that are supposed to be wise who are doing not. I don't want to go there. Hallelujah. Ephesians 6:10. I'm just speaking like a father, actually. The burden and then the hearts that I have towards these younger ones. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of that darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Verse 13. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, in the day when the persecution and the trouble will arise, and have it done all to stand, to remain on your feet, not falling, that not bending, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. What is the Bible saying? Whose report will you believe? Your husband can never change, or your husband can change. Which one do you believe? Guard your loins with the truth. Is your husband your husband? You have that power over him. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, I'm still coming there. You don't fight this kind of fight and you are romancing sin, and you are coming in and out of sin. You are wasting your time because the devil can use it against you. And your feet should, with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You must be a servant of God, on the go for God. That is what it means to be in the armor. That is important. I'm still coming there also. Above all, most importantly, taking the shield of faith. The shield of faith, which is your tongue, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The doubt and fear and worry and anxiety that you will be throwing, you will be speaking against it. That is your shield of faith. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is still the word of God. Which is the word of God. Helmet of salvation. Are you saved yourself? Are you an exemplary believer in your house? Do you go about gossiping what happens in the church and the fellowship to a man you want to be saved, to a man you want to save? Do you act as a child of God? Does your behavior correspond? Wear on your head the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit, that is CDA, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, speaking in tongues all the time. Is misbehaving, you are speaking in the Holy Ghost, you are speaking your CDA. That's the way it works. And that takes us to number 7, which is CDA plus. If you are a Sadducee, you know CDA, you know CDA plus. Confess, declare, and announce. The plus DA is imagine. And I'm going to break it down. Confess, husband is saved, he is saved, he is saved in the name of Jesus. Is saved, you declare it. Alpha, madam, Alpha, it is settled. It is settled. We are at peace. It is settled. That's declaration. Announcing, speaking boldly in the public that you have gotten your, that it is settled. That your husband is now saved. He's now a believer. Let them go and ask him. Your husband said, you are now a believer. Your husband said, he's now saved. So, speaking, believing, confessing, declaring, announcing, and you must keep saying it. You may get my message CDA or my book CDA to alongside with this one. It's going to help you to understand better, because I don't want to start breaking that. Now I've spent some minutes already. Now imagine, instead of getting carried away in worry and in sadness, imagine your husband following you to the church. Imagine your husband urging you that you should go to. Imagine your husband being a pastor preaching the word of God. The Bible said, what have you seen? The man of God said, I saw a pot and an almond tree, and God said, I will hasten my word to fulfill it. He said, you have seen well. Go to the Abraham as far as your eyes can see. So the eyes of your spirit, what can he see? I see dry bones receiving life right now. Yes, I see dry bones receiving life. I see every idolatry cases getting sorted. I see ancestral issue vanishing. Yes, I could see that in a vision right now. Glory to God. Every old, every spell upon the life of your husband, upon the life of your wife, upon the life of your children, I see it breaking away right now in the name of Jesus. You speak, my husband is saved. That's CDA. That's your constant prayer. Instead of getting worried and getting sad, my husband is saved in Jesus' name. He is saved in the name of Jesus. He is saved. You think it, you say it, you murmur it, you mutter it, let it be the last thing you say before you sleep, the first thing you say when you wake up, you keep saying it. Hallelujah. Then number 8, do your part. Do your part. What is your own part? Preach Jesus to them. Give them tract. Teach them to follow you to the church. If you have a child, correct your child. If you have a stubborn child, rebuke your child. Do your own part. Number 9 is the law of patience. The law of patience. Let's see the book of James 1 verse 1. If you think you have done everything, have you tried patience? Patience is not waiting. No, patience is when it no longer disturbs you, when it is not the last thing you think about before you sleep, or the last thing you think about when you pray. Yes, no, it's not the last thing you think about before you sleep. When it's not the first thing you think about when you wake. When is not the only thing you say before God? Every time you are before God, you want to pray, you want to study the word of God. You see a pastor, you go to a program, you want them to talk about you, about that case. When it has come to that level, you are not patient. You are supposed to enjoy the word of God coming from the altar. You're supposed to enjoy the prayer section. You're supposed to enjoy your fellowship with God. But all your mind is, hey, this thing, this issue, my husband. If it is like that, then you are not patient. You are patient when you have put them down, when you have exchanged it with God, when you have told God, this is my request, I know it is done in Jesus' name. And then you enjoy your fellowship with God, you enjoy your prayer section, you sleep well, you sleep with thanksgiving, you wake up with joy. You do every other thing you are supposed to do with God. You are supposed to do. Yes, it's your prayer point, but you believe God have answered it. You keep confessing, declaring, and announcing it and imagining it, but it doesn't become an issue for you. It is not always on your mind. Is it possible to take it off someone's mind? Yes. Now let me ask you, if that case is settled, if it is, if your husband has changed, will it be on your mind as an issue? If no, then you must begin to live the reality of when your prayer is answered, which is thanksgiving. Instead of thinking, instead of worry, rather thank God over it. I thank God it is settled. I thank God it is done. I thank God I'm victorious. I thank God my husband is saved. I thank God my wife is saved. I thank God my child is back home. He's back home in Jesus' name. He's saved in Jesus' name. And then when you do other things, your mind is free. You enjoy God. You go to your bed singing. You wake up singing. The thought wants to come to you. You bust out singing still. It doesn't hook you down again. It doesn't get worried again. I hope you get what I'm saying. That's what patience is. And please, you really need patience. When I was passing through a phase, it was patience that bailed me out. Every time, just as I come to the studio now, the issue will be on my mind. I will think about it. I will put it down. All the time, everywhere, before God, because God used to speak to me mouth to mouth. Even when God is speaking to me, I just want Him to talk about it. I want Him to mention it. But so I kind of lost the joy, the love of fellowship in His presence and all. And until I realized, until I watched my way, it didn't show up. The moment I applied patience to every other thing I've been applying, that same month, God answered me. So that is the way it is, my dear sister, my dear brother. James 1 from verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. The trying of your faith was meant to produce patience. So if it is yet to produce patience, your answer will not come. If you have not learned and mastered, I have a message, I call it trying times. You can check it on the Telegram and download it as well. I explained more. It was only patience I talked about in that lecture mostly. So you can get it also. Then is that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire and wanting nothing. And if you find this thing difficult, because that is wisdom, ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and abideth not, and it shall give. It shall be given unto you. Hallelujah. The number nine, avoid these things while you are praying, while you are taking your stand. Offense. Don't get offended in God, in man. Don't hate God. Don't be disappointed in God. Don't get offended in your husband that you are praying for. Don't get offended in your pastor. Don't get offended in your neighbor. You know, the Bible says, when trouble and persecution arise, by and by, he get offended. And the word is gone. The victory is gone. The testimony is gone. Avoid offense. Avoid unforgiveness. Avoid unforgiveness. Book of Mark 11:23 that we read the other time states it emphatically. There's nothing you ask from God that you will not get except you have unforgiveness in your heart. Except you have unforgiveness in your heart. Verse 20, that's Mark 11:25. And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive your own trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. So forgive where it's called for it. Then pay your tithe, do your own part. Yeah, give your seed. Seed is also good at this period in time. Yeah, sacrificial giving is good. I didn't say if you don't give your sacrifice, God will not answer you. I say it is good at this period in time. Holiness, no doubt, very important. Avoid worry, avoid anger, avoid anxiety. If for any reason you fail, you fall back into sin, stand up again and continue from where you stopped. Don't get grounded. Is it number 10 now? I think I made a mistake by calling that one number 9. It ought to be number 10, then this one is number 11, pray in tongues always. If you don't know what else to say, pray in tongues and give thanks to God. Now, prayer model. How do you pray? There is a way you pray for somebody who is not saved. But you have to know that you have a right over their soul. Yes, and this is important. Now, I need to emphasize. You know, I said it's a battle for their soul. You want their soul, devil also wants their soul. I told you about CDA the other time, that you must keep confessing, declaring, and announcing. You must keep repeating your prayers. Now, are you intentionally use the word repeating? Because some people may be getting this message who are not used to my messages. When I say repeating, now, you don't pray and say, God, please save my husband. No, I will give you the prayer model now. You say your prayer model in a receiving form. My husband is saved in Jesus' name. It is that kind of statement or prayer that you can repeat. The reason is when you call for their heart, for their soul, because they are human beings, spiritually, they have the will power to also take back their soul from your grip, from God. Devil can also influence them to take it back. So when you say, my husband is saved in Jesus' name, immediately you say that, you get their soul, they may be calm, cool-headed. Devil may just whisper something in their head, and they will just say, oh, the devil is my God. And they will just say, let me go and drink again. Once they take that step, they have taken back their soul. You will have to keep saying, taking it, they took it, you took it again, they took it. The more, Bible says, do so mightily greet the word and its prevail. The more you are saying it, the more you are having control. And gradually, it will be taking a longer time before they can get to return their soul. And then, by and large, they come to God totally. So, in the prayer model, you must understand that you have a right. Because what you want to do is a very spiritual thing. And then the devil will ask, what is your right? There are several scriptures that spell out your right. Yes, the fact is that your husband, your wife, your children, anything that is your property, your family member, your father, your mother, anything that carries your at the back, you have right over it spiritually. Because the most spiritual in the family is the spiritual head. And the head can control other parts. You have that spiritual right, and in fact, a spiritual obligation, because you are seen as the father. It doesn't matter if you are a lady or not. You are the father. Just like Barak could not go to war except Deborah followed him. Deborah is a father at that point in time. Acts 16:31. They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved along with everyone in your household. Paul, speaking to the jailer, said, once you believe, everyone in your household will also be saved. Once you be so, have you believed? Are you saved? Then everybody in your household are under your jurisdiction. You have the right to command their salvation. Rahab saved a family with her own faith. Amen. Luke 19:9 is one scripture that I want you to really understand and hold on to, as the Lord will be helping you. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much so he also is the son of Abraham. That is, once you are a child of God, salvation have automatically entered your house. And everybody that is connected with your bloodline can get saved, must get saved. They have been scheduled under that insurance. You have the right to claim their salvation. That was the case of, what's this man now? This short man. Nicodemus. Is it Nicodemus? No. Let's see the Bible. Luke 19:9. That was Zacchaeus. Yeah. Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he is also a son of Abraham. Salvation is in your house. salvation. Let me see NLT. I think I would like the way NLT will present it. Luke 19:9. Remember Peter. I'm coming there. Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today. Salvation has come into your home. The day you gave your life to Christ, they are all under it. So, devil is encroaching on your territory. Devil is encroaching. It is your right to command their salvation and they should be saved. Devil shouldn't be taking over their lives. When Jesus went to visit Peter, he met Peter's mother-in-law sick. What did Jesus do? Jesus healed her. Nobody has to ask Jesus whether to heal the woman or not. Because Jesus has entered the house. Salvation has entered that house. Even if your family member is sick, you can stand on this scripture to command their salvation. That's what I use. Nobody falls sick under my roof. Nobody, by the grace of God. Because it's an harassment. It's nonsense. It's not legal. That passage, that book of Luke 19:9, the word salvation there in Greek means soteria, which means deliverance, preservation, safety, salvation. It also means healing. It means deliverance from the molestation and harassment of the enemies. So, deliverance from molestation and harassment has entered your home. If your husband is always sick or always drinking, that's a molestation of the devil. Or he practices idolatry. That is a molestation. You have a right to tell the devil to get out, to command him to take his hand off your family members, wherever they may be living. They are your, that's your mother, your brother. If he carries your and is your bloodline, ha, under my roof. As the daughter of Zion, like that, she came here, she was feeling somehow. I prayed with her, she was not getting better. I had to go out and go and get drugs for her because this is a pastor's house. Nothing must happen in Jesus' name, amen. So after I prayed for her, she was not getting okay. I went to buy drugs for her. The second time she came, she was feeling the same way. I was like, this is not. So I had to sit down in my office chair. I sat down and I said, God, what's wrong? What's wrong? And the Spirit told me, shame on you. I said, okay, I agree. What should I do? He said, check your Bible. And I saw it in the Bible. Today, salvation have entered your house. I said, yes, that's salvation. That's salvation. He said, go and look at the Greek word, the Greek meaning of the word salvation. My Greek Bible is always with me. So I checked the concordance and I saw the meaning of the Greek word. It means soteria. What does soteria means? Deliverance from the molestation of the enemies. I jumped up. Yeah, that's harassment. That's encroachment. That's a molestation. That's nonsense. The enemy is coming to my house to make someone sick. No, it's not possible. I went into her room, prayed for her. She slept off. She woke up, healed, and continued with the work she came to do. So that's the way it should be. So you now know that you have a right. You have a right. Yes, you have a right. I was on a crusade ground, and there, and maybe they call it attack. I don't know. Something just entered my mouth like a fly, stayed on my throat, and it was paining me. The pain was so much, I couldn't cough. I coughed, it didn't go out, it was paining me. I called the name of Jesus, the bread of Jesus. I drank water. It was still not going. This is an harassment. This is an embarrassment. This is wrong. And I said, God, what do I do? I've called the name of Jesus. I called the bread of Jesus. I've declared, I've confessed, I've announced. This thing is still paining me. And they told me, what does the Bible say? What is your right in the Bible over flies? It was a fly that entered your mouth, son. So I checked the Bible. The Bible said everything God created, he called them meat. He said they are good for meat. So I said, Lord, thank you for this meat. And I drank water. If you finish drinking meat, what do? You drink water. I drank water. And the meat went down my gullet and it became a protein. Hallelujah. So another time I was in an examination hall. I couldn't get to write anything in the script, even though I have read well. And then wanted to submit and I was praying. And God asked me, what rights do you have that even if you don't write anything, you want to submit an empty sheet that you should still pass? And I said, oh, the Bible says, whatever name Adam called the animals with the name that they bear. I called this script distinction in Jesus' name. And as I said that, I submitted and indeed passed the course with distinction. Hallelujah. What am I saying? You have a right over anyone on your bloodline, you have a right to command their salvation, because the Bible says salvation have entered into your home. The closer they are, the bigger your rights. Now get up and walk. The prayer model.
Listen to this prayer model. Thank you, Father, for bringing me to understand my rights in Christ Jesus. That the moment I got saved was the same moment that my husband got saved. But the devil is harassing my home. Now I know my rights and I have my victory already. Thank you, Father. I command that evil spirit at work in my husband, bringing him into disobedience, into salvation. I command that spirit to pack off right now in the name of Jesus. I rebuke every spirit, drunkenness spirit, idolatry spirit, stealing spirit, that is causing him to go more in this habit of stealing or idolatry or adultery, as the case may be, in the name of Jesus. I take charge. I take charge of your spirit right now. I take charge of your soul. You belong to God as the one who have right over your soul. I take charge right now and I declare that you belong to God in Jesus' name. I declare that the word of the Lord come to you right now and you believe it and you are saved in the name of Jesus. I ask that angels go and bring the word of God to you. Send men, send the word of God to you right now and you receive your salvation in the name of Jesus. My husband, Mingafolayon, is saved in Jesus' name. Amen. The blood of Jesus, I use to seal your heart right now. Use it to seal your soul. You will go back no more to that sin in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want you to do me a favor. Write out your prayer. Write it out. Using the model I have given you. Let me explain the importance of each statement in that model. Start with thanksgiving. End with thanksgiving. Now, stand on your rights. Stand on your rights. I have the rights. I forgot that I have the rights. You can quote the Bible, Luke 19:9. For today, Jesus' salvation has entered my home. That's your right. You can quote other scriptures as well that confirm your right. Command. I command. Don't say, God, help me to cast away. Jesus commanded the evil spirit to get out of that boy. Remember? I command. The evil spirit that is stopping him. Bible says the spirit that is now at work in the chain of disobedience that we read earlier. So I command the evil spirit at work, working out disobedience in the life of my husband, bringing that is making him to disobey the gospel of Christ. It's disobedience now. I come against that spirit to get out right now in the name of Jesus. Then you rebuke the spirit of sin in him. If what it does is that it drinks, you rebuke. If it is adultery, you rebuke adultery. If he's worshiping idol, you rebuke that specifically out of him. Then you take charge of his soul. You take charge of his spirit as one who has the right in the name of Jesus. You can also quote scriptures along that line. Yes, and you can still repeat the same one, that the salvation has now entered my house. The Bible says, believe in the Lord, you shall be saved, and everyone in your house old. According to Acts 16:31. So you have the right to take charge of his soul. Then you declare that the word of the Lord will come to him. If you want him to be saved, he needs the word of God, the word of salvation, to come to him. So you declare that the word of God will come to him. If God may send any man to him, you also will pay your own part to preach to him. And he will be able to hear the word when the word comes into his heart. Then you ask the angels to go out and walk. Ask the angels to, okay, we've said that earlier also. Then you declare at the end, he is saved in Jesus' name. Now you can repeat this, your prayer model, you write it out. You can repeat it as often as possible. You don't just pray it once and forget about it. You write it somewhere where you can always see it and repeat it. You can say every night, you can say morning, evening, and night. But one thing you must always say
is that my husband is saved. Mention his name. He is saved. In Jesus' name, he is saved. You can say that 200 times in a day. You can say it in the bus, in the car, when you are walking, anywhere. That is why you must listen to the two other messages, CDA and Trying Times. Listen to those two others to be able to fortify your understanding. And I tell you, as the Lord liveth, in 3 months, by the grace of God, you will see a total change in the name of Jesus. I pray for you, every evil spirit at work in your husband's life, in your house, I cast it out in the name of Jesus. Working in your wife, in your father, in your mother, in your children, in your sibling, I cast out in the name of Jesus. They come to salvation in Jesus' name. They are saved in the name of Jesus. Amen. The Lord help you. The Lord strengthen you. You are able to overcome worry and anxiety in Jesus' name. Amen. So I believe this message has been of great help to you. It is not as good as you putting it into action. That is what wisdom is. The Lord bless and keep your home. I make you rejoice over you, over it in the name of Jesus. Now the scriptures came to my mind right now. The Bible says the Lord will rejoice over you with singing. I love that scripture. Let me show you as I sign out. Then always pray in the Holy Ghost. Kabbalandosh. Very, very important. Yes, yes. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. You will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. Zephaniah 3:17. The good Lord bless you. I'm coming over this will be with you. Amen. I'm waiting for your testimony.
Hope you have been blessed by the message. We are always encouraged to know how God is working through this ministry to change lives. If your life has been transformed, or God has used this ministry to move in your life, do take a moment to share a testimony by sending us an email at sardisinternational@gmail.com. For counseling, please contact the following numbers: 0706-091-6344, 0810-652-2911. May the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.